pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
You are about to listen to I Told You So, the world's greatest relationship podcast, hosted by Tiffany and Jeff, two people in the healthiest relationship of all time.
Join our power couple as we explore the ups and downs of love, offering you the tools you need to navigate the relationship scene with charm, humor, and grace.
Welcome to I Told You So, where love is our business.
And laughter is our secret weapon.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to I Told You So. I didn't know I was...
I told you I was going to let you drive.
I didn't know that I was, introducing the
You're
show.
You're supposed to say, you are listening to the world's greatest relationship podcast. I told you so.
I panicked. I just did not realize.
No, that was fun. That was a fun, surprising way to start the show. I dig it.
Hi, everyone. It's Father's Day.
As we record this, as this drops, is several days past Father's Day. But we don't care. We're on a theme today, and that's what we're doing.
We are doing it. Yes.
Yes.
So do you have any memorable Father's Day, like with your kids?
I mean, you know, they're all pretty memorable. I'd like to talk about the one I'm having right now.
Okay.
My daughter came down and bought a brisket.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up early today and got it prepped and ready and rubbed and mustarded and in the smoker before 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I can smell it on you.
Yeah, I smell like campfire.
You do.
I do.
It will be worth it, though.
I hope so.
Yeah, it will be a good day. I hope you have a good day today.
I'm hoping somebody else cooks side dishes and that I don't have to do that. That's my only hope today.
Of course. You shouldn't have to cook on Father's Day.
So, my kids have been pretty good about Father's Day. And then there were the years of the divorce where they weren't allowed to see me other than when I took them to school.
Yeah.
And those were not very good Father's Days. And they do a good job of making me feel appreciated.
That's good.
Yeah.
What about Father's Day for your dad growing up? Was that like a big celebration? Did you do a barbecue in the traditional Father's Day?
No, dad. It's hard. He was a lot like me in that he didn't like to be the center of attention in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine being the center of attention, as am I.
Right.
But when it came to celebratory stuff, you know, I like for his 50th birthday,
mm-hmm.
He was at work. I went over to this little party shop that was just a couple of blocks down from the apartment he and I were living in. And I bought a bunch of little gravestones and black balloons and everything and decorated our apartment with it and stuff like that. And, you know, it fell a little flat.
Aww.
Just because he was just uncomfortable being celebrated in that particular, in that particular way. But, you know, I'm one of the things that I look forward to on Father's Day is calling dad and, you know, just having a chat with him and swapping stories and, just like we did on the phone, but for Father's Day, there was just always something special about it, and I'd always get an extra good story. So I miss that a lot today.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mentioned this on one of the other shows, and at this point, I can't remember which one, but, you know, I've been kind of dreading Father's Day as the week went on,
mm-hmm.
knowing that Dad wasn't there for me to call. And then yesterday we went to a funeral for a relative, mm-hmm. One of my uncles, and his kids and grandkids and his wife are about to have their first Father's Day
mm-hmm.
in an immediate way without their dad.
Yes.
I've had months to digest that this was coming. I've had months to put some calluses, you know, over the wounds that the emotional wounds I have for dad dying, you know. Yeah, I'm sad, but I'm far enough removed that it's not raw anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousins are having what I had 4 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, and
so
I just
rough.
I do. I feel sad for them, knowing, you know, what they're going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't even know how I started talking about this.
We were talking about Father's Day. Well, it's different for me because I met my biological father when I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just grew up with two moms. And so he was in my life, in and out of my life from that age, and probably haven't talked to him in...
It's been years.
10 years, or maybe not quite. But anyway, yeah, very different relationship there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's unfortunate because I... You know, kids sometimes grow up without a dad,
mm-hmm.
or they grow up with a shitty dad, or in a lot of cases, especially with guys my age, you grew up with a dad that was so emotionally stunted, you couldn't tell one way or the other whether he even fucking liked you, you know? And I was very lucky. I was very privileged in not only was my dad present and involved, his care for me, his affection for me, his love for me was something that he affirmed both in action and in word. He told me that he loved me, and then he showed me.
Mm.
And, you know, that I think had a lot to do with how often I say that to people that I love now.
Yes.
You know, is I'm comfortable with it, and I want you to know. And I will say I love you to you every 5 minutes coming in and out of the room.
We always do.
Yeah.
I say it to my kids going up the stairs.
Yep.
I love you.
It's important, I think, yeah. for them to do it. And then to see that followed up with other stuff. And it's like, if your kids, without you saying a word, didn't know how much you loved them based on how you throw them parties, you know? Because it's huge. You celebrate your kids in a way I wish I was motivated to do. I love my kids, and I love talking to them, and I love saying, you know, like happy birthday or whatever, you know, but I can't focus the power it takes to do what you do for the kids. Hmm. I try. I've tried to throw parties. I'm fucking awful at it.
No, that's not true.
Well, it depends on the party.
Yeah, you've thrown great parties. Well, going...
For candidates and clients.
Very political, very red, white, and blue.
Am I getting paid to plan this party? Then yeah. You're going to get a hell of a party.
If you're, yeah, not paying for it yourself.
Yeah, in my defense, at the time of the worst party I ever planned, I was working 20-hour days.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It was a little chaotic.
It was a little chaotic.
So going back to what you said about your dad being so emotionally available, I think at the time that generation was not that way.
No, not at all.
And so I think we're seeing that in a lot of fathers and men, this masculinity, this we can't show our emotions, we can't say I love you, we can't have that kind of relationship.
I never... want my kids to question my loyalty and love for them ever.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how mad I am about anything, and that kind of goes back to when they were making those kind of fuck ups. No matter how busy I am, I honestly do my best to cut time out for the kids, especially when they reach out.
Yes.
Because they need to know that they're important to me and that it's touching. You know, Matthias calls in, we talk about process, a creative process. You know, Kyla calls in, we talk about important events and sometimes just nothing.
Random nothing, yeah. Nothing.
She likes to call me when she's running errands in between the errands themselves.
Yeah.
And I love that she's just like, I need to waste a little time, I better call my dad.
Did you ever do that as a kid on the phone, like... Maybe guys don't do this, but for me, I remember just sitting on the phone with a friend and not even talking. Like we'd watch a show Are you there? Yeah. And then like we would just sit there and we wouldn't have a conversation. And kids, I feel like your kid does it. And I have a kid who definitely does it. They just want to be on the phone and just know someone's there, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. There were some teenage relationships mm-hmm. where there was some silence on the phone like that.
Yeah.
When I was 14 or 15. And you're just so in love. And I know. It's so important. And it's so big. And you can't stop thinking about it. And then your parents are like, would you get off the phone? Because
we're trying to connect to the internet.
Not yet. Not well, for me.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was living on my own with roommates by the time I needed to worry about. And that was the other thing is in that house where we first got internet, nobody really talked on the phone. We all work nights.
Yeah.
You know, you get up, you go somewhere. It wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
So I did get to miss out on that. But no, I still remember the sound of my 36.6 connecting to the internet.
I know.
So I could hop on my AOL chatbot.
AOL. Oh, God. I got in so much trouble on AOL and Yahoo chats. Anyway. Okay. Back to this kind of cultural thing that I wanted to hit on. Because I don't feel like you're like this, but as a mom, I remember when my kids were little, I ran for city council.
Yes.
And I remember it happened so many times. But one distinct time I remember was I went up to a house. I think I might have had some kids with me. And the lady said, oh, your husband is letting you run for office? Oh, what a great man he must be. Oh, how supportive. God. It was a lot of that. Is he babysitting? Oh, he's babysits the kids so you can do this. How thoughtful. What a great husband. So it's this like idea that if men are, you know, part of their kids' lives, like showing up, watching them, they're babysitting.
Yeah, I don't care for that. No. But unfortunately, it's very true.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced people like, giving you praise for simple things like that, like taking your kid to the store yep. or like changing their diaper.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I change diapers. I have been pooped on. I have been peed on. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done the work.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, no, I would take one kid at a time with me to the store.
Very smart.
Every once in a while, I would take both kids, and it would remind me why I only take one kid at a time. Because with my kids, one kid at a time, they were very well behaved.
Right, I know.
And the minute you got two of them together, they were trying to outcompete each other on who could be the biggest greedy little asshole.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
It's insane.
Yeah, so I would take one kid with me at a time, and yeah, there were several times where moms would just be like, oh, it's so refreshing to see a father spending time with their children. And I'm like, I got a grocery shop.
Refresh and grocery shopping. What?
Men spending time with their children should not be considered babysitting. Yeah. It should be considered doing your fucking job.
They did say that from 1960 to now, men are three times more involved in their children's lives.
Yeah, but what was the baseline?
I exactly.
Mean, what's it the was line very, we're jumping off there?
Yeah, I know. But I think we are changing the dynamic of that relationship as we push and are more accepting of men in that role too. I feel like we give them more opportunities to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's take a break. And then when we come back, I'm going to ask you some fun questions.
Okay. Hey, folks, Jeff here. So you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic. It's not about the software. And it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com.
So if you had to give yourself one piece of advice for fatherhood, your younger self, but that wouldn't terrify you and scare you off from ever having children.
Okay, I see the premise.
You know, what would you...
So I'm telling pre-dad me some dad advice.
Yes.
On how to be a dad.
Yes, that won't scare you.
Yeah, don't work so much.
Yeah.
When you have kids, don't work so much.
That's so hard, though, because, and I think, like we are saying, it goes back to that traditional role that is placed all on your shoulders.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's like, we were just fucking poor. We just had a pair of shitty jobs.
Yeah.
And mine just demanded so much of my time and attention. I mean, the family went on vacations. I stayed home and worked. You know, mm-hmm. I worked for demanding douchebags. I was telling this story yesterday about how when I was working for the DNC, I had this amazing fucking insurance.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other DNC employees that was with me in Utah, got IVF, you know?
Yeah.
And the DNC paid for it. And I was sitting there with a multitude of problems. I even had full fucking dental coverage.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't use it because I was at work.
Because you're so busy.
I go into work at 7 o'clock every morning. I leave work at 6:30, 7 o'clock every night. Yeah. And that was what I did. And the truth is, I did not have to be that busy. Mm-hmm. But I had a job that I fought for and somehow nailed down. And I just wanted to make sure that everything I did was exemplary. I wanted to be there before everybody else got in. I wanted to leave after everybody else left. And one of the guys I worked with, Todd, made that very, very difficult because he did not have a wife and kids. And so he would just stay.
Todd, go home.
And I'd match him.
Yeah.
You know, and my buddy Craig did it as well because we were just so fucking grateful to be having a job that we really, really wanted. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't use that health insurance.
Yeah.
I could have got my knee replaced. You know, there was an elevator at work, so I could have got my knee replaced, which I've desperately needed for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Only my right shoulder was bad at the time. I could have got that worked on. Mm-hmm. I could have got my carpal tunnel worked on. I still haven't. And it's been since 2000. It's been 20 years since I had that job. And I've had carpal tunnel the whole time, you know. So, no, there's benefits to spending time with your kids. And I missed out on so much mm-hmm. because I was so busy trying to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that the ends never really met. No matter how hard I worked, I could have worked less hard and just enjoyed my kids because they're entertaining and I was poor.
Yeah.
And spending time with your kids is a really easy way when you've got no money to entertain yourself. You know?
It's true.
I mean, it's also, if you have money, it's a great way to entertain yourself. Kids are just fucking endlessly delightful.
Most
even when they're
the
little
time.
Bastards.
Most of the time.
Yeah. Unless you take two of them to the grocery store.
I know. Then it's over.
Yeah.
Well, what things, I mean, your kids have great memories and stories of time with you. So what things do you hope that they take on with them and like traditions or little jokes or something to their families?
I hope. I hope they take my ridiculous sense of humor. My dad jokes weren't dad jokes. My dad jokes were convincing the kids I controlled the weather.
Yes.
My kids, honest to God, thought I was Batman.
Yes.
You know, and the reason they thought I was Batman is because I kept telling them that I wasn't Batman. Dad, you're Batman. I'm not Batman. You know.
Yeah.
And just I my relationship with my kids has always been as playful as I possibly, you know, can make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to engage with them. I want them to laugh. I want my kids to smile when they think of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, that goes back to the first question, and that is that there was a lot of absentee time where my kids have wonderful memories of amazing trips,
mm-hmm.
and Dad wasn't there. Dad was working for Rocky fucking Anderson, who wouldn't give him time off.
Right. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask you? Okay. Is there a moment that you just impress the hell out of yourself? Like a parenting moment that you just knocked out of the park, or a save?
No.
What?
No.
I know that you've like caught your kid falling off the couch and just like caught him by a leg or something like.
I don't remember anything like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
I have so many.
Yeah. I honest to God, I think I just haven't been there for him enough.
I think you were put in that situation and there was not much you could do. But I think recognizing that and the importance of it is huge. And I know like I throw ridiculous parties, but part of that is seeing our kids where they are now, showing that we value them and that relationship and really just building what we already have.
Take it back.
Take what back?
That word ridiculous. You throw amazing parties that well, just I know, celebrate but... the shit out of these kids. They're wonderful. You know, I've never had a party thrown for me like that. You know, because it would make me feel funny if you did, is what I'm saying.
Just wait.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's no, you do. You throw amazing parties.
Well, I think there's so much time to make more memories that I'm excited. I'm excited for. Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions and you have to like rapid answer, rapid fire.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Best dad food, burnt barbecue, leftover crusts, or secret midnight snack?
Secret midnight snack.
Worst kid chore, assembling flat pack toys, untangling tangled cords, or blowing up inflatable pools?
Blowing shit up.
Okay.
I smoked for 35 years.
Oh, yeah.
Blowing stuff up fucking sucks.
It is bad.
Yeah.
Ultimate dad uniform, cargo shorts, lawn mowing sneakers, or a graphic tee?
Graphic tee.
That's you, but do you think that's the dad uniform?
You asked me a question.
Okay.
The other dads can fuck right off.
That's fair.
They can wear what they want.
The true test of patience, teaching a kid to drive, assembling a trampoline, or a long distance road trip?
Teaching a kid to drive. Look, I know because I was conscious and aware that when it was time to teach Kyla to drive, yelling was not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Not even if you're afraid. And I tried teaching her to drive stick and it went poorly. And in her memory, I was yelling at her.
Mm-hmm.
And I know full well that I was calm the whole fucking time because I forced myself
right.
to be.
Yeah.
Not that I thought that I needed to yell because I yelling's a shit motivator at any time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only time you yell is at Nazis, racists, and men that perform domestic violence, you know, and Republicans and Republican lawmakers. I mean, there's a time to yell
there
and there's
a time
not to
yell.
To
yell. Yes.
And a kid learning to drive a car, yelling is just fucking counterproductive and it's going to get you in an accident. But she was so scared and so intimidated that she remembers it as a hugely negative experience. And when we got caught in the middle of the intersection, I was laughing. And, you know, so did that answer your question? I don't think that answered your question. What was the question again?
I can't remember what the question was. It was...
Oh, patience. Yeah, teaching a kid to drive a car takes the most patience.
It is. It's so terrifying. But you know that I taught Kyla to drive a stick, too.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry about that.
No, it's fine. She needed to learn it. But what I'm saying is that...
You were very mad at me.
Well, at the time, probably because she was being such a little shit. You yelled at me. No, I did not.
No, that's not why. Did you forget the story?
Because she was like 12.
No, she wasn't 12. It was that you wanted to teach her first to drive a stick. You wanted to be the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going somewhere and we like stopped it in the church parking lot and she wanted to drive. I'm like, okay, let's do this. So I taught her how to.
You stole a parenting milestone.
Yeah, I did. Taught her to drive a manual. And she did great for me. I don't know.
Oh, Kylie, you owe me an apology. I didn't yell.
What is the grossest or most chaotic parenting emergency you've had to handle under pressure?
Laser beam poop.
Yes.
When you're in the middle of a change, and it shoots like a pew pew, you know, like a laser gun. Yeah. And one of my kids, who will remain nameless, but did say I yelled at her when I was teaching her to drive. When she was, she's about 3 or 4 months old, and I had her down and was changing her diaper, and she got this funny little look on her face, and I knew I needed to do a thing. I did not know what the thing was because I was still too new, and so the options my brain gave me were fold the diaper up or jump out of the way, and I jumped out of the way, and... two laser beams hit the wall.
Pew, pew. Yep.
And I had to clean that up.
Uh-huh.
You know? Had I folded the diaper up, like, and that was the first option I gave myself.
Uh-huh.
And I went, no, that doesn't seem like, you got anything else?
Jump.
And I jumped. Or if I had just stood there, all I would have had to do was change my clothes. But instead, I'm bleaching the fucking wall.
Yes.
That one was pretty gross. Poops are pretty bad.
I really struggled with that.
Yeah.
Like the worst. I remember one night, I could just smell it. One of the kids came in and I was like, oh no, they're sick. And they're like, I'm not feeling good. Anyway, there was a trail back to the bedroom. And I was like, no. And then when I turned the lights on, it smelled even worse. And both kids, it was terrible. Okay. Not about me. Did you find like toys or TV shows, movies that your kids loved that you loved even more than your kids?
Phineas and Ferb. The kids used to sleep with the TV on because they wouldn't go to sleep without the TV on. And as a parent, when you pick your battles, I'm like, fuck it. If they're in bed, I don't care if the TV's on. So we would put on something at night with Disney stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
And never mind that it switched to Adult Swim, which I forgot about. But I would come in the morning to wake the kids up, and Phineas and Ferb would be on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd wake them up, and then I'd just stand there and fucking watch it.
Yeah.
You know, forever. Which I thought was fun.
Any fun toys?
Nerf.
Yeah, I love the Nerf guns.
Yep. Yeah, we were Nerf combatants for a while, and every year I'd buy them the model of Nerf gun I'd had the year before, and I'd buy something bigger. And then the year that I upgraded to a fully automatic Nerf machine gun was the year my kids started winning Nerf fights with their little fucking revolvers.
Yeah.
Because revolvers don't make any noise until you've shot. And that goddamn automatic would have to spin up. And
yeah, so yeah.
You pull the trigger and it goes. Right?
Uh-huh.
And then, I got to turn my alarm off. As soon as we're done with this, I got to run out and change the.
Oh, yes.
I got to change the wood and the smoker.
Yeah, don't forget that.
I won't.
I'm excited.
Yeah, Nerf guns.
Nerf guns.
Yeah. Well, that was the question was, is there toys or. TV shows,
yeah.
Yeah, I managed to miss all the Disney because the kids just didn't care if I was in the room or not when they were watching Disney, and so I'd go back to work. You know, so there's a lot of Disney and kids movies that are classics that I've never seen. I've never seen The Lion King.
That's crazy. That was before your kids.
I've never seen Aladdin.
That was before your kids,
but
though.
But they still watched them.
Oh.
Why would I watch them before I had kids, is what I'm saying.
Well, because you were a kid.
Not when those movies came out, I was not.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm old, remember?
I forgot you're still in black and white. Lion King was awesome in color. You should definitely see it.
Oh, you suck. What's your next question?
I don't have any more for you.
Oh, is that it?
No, yeah, that was it. I will say, like, I just wrapping up, if we are wrapping up this father's stuff, that you are such a great dad.
Oh.
And seeing you with your kids, it's this way that you see them and listen to them. There's a picture of you and Matthias. It's like my favorite picture. And it's of, I think you must have been at Comic-Con, some convention, because you had things, lanyards around your neck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Matthias is just little, so cute. And you are like down on his level because you're so much taller than him. You're like squatting down on the ground just to look at him in the eyes and give him your full attention. And there's so much other stuff going on around you, but just that picture of you looking at him, seeing him and listening to him, it says so much about who you are as a person, I think, and you as a father.
I had a relative, and her name, she was like my great great aunt,
mm-hmm.
older lady. Her name was Mary. And when I was a little kid and we'd come across her, I liked her. But when she would talk to me, you know, she would sit down so she could look me in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And no other adult did that. And I remembered that very early on when the kids were just barely, when Kyla was just barely walking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remembered that. And I've done it with the three kids that grew up with me. And that is to look them in the eye,
mm-hmm.
and to actually do your best to pay attention. Now, sometimes I didn't, because sometimes kids talk when there's important shit going on.
Right,
you know, and you'd blow them off. But no, a moment like that, not even engineered, it was,
mm-hmm.
I remembered when an adult did that to me when I was a kid, and I'm like, oh, I'll do that to my kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the same reason I didn't baby talk them, you know, when I would have conversations with them when they were still monosyllabic. I just treated them like people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's done the job of letting them know, if nothing else, that I hear them, and that, you know, it's the rest of the world may be a complete fucking mess,
mm-hmm.
but your dad's going to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's taking his nighttime gummy, and then you're probably going to have to be a little entertaining, you know?
That's so true.
Yeah.
I don't know that I felt like I ever missed out on that. Like, there weren't any, I mean, I had a grandpa. My grandpa died when I was 16, but I didn't have a lot of men in my life that, mm-hmm. I was like close to or really looked up to. I've had some like father-in-laws that were really kind and great, but I never felt like I missed out. And I think it was because I felt that in both relationships with my moms.
Yeah.
They're very different, but I always felt like I had someone, there was someone there, you know? And I think that's so important.
I think it's important for single moms to get called out on Father's Day.
I did. I texted my moms.
Yeah.
They were kind of single.
It is. There's nothing wrong with being affectionate with your kids. There's nothing wrong with letting them know that they are cared about, mm-hmm. that they are worried about. You know, I apologize to my kids a lot for being in, busy so much when they were little. And both, they've forgiven the hell out of me. They keep telling me to shut up. It's not that big a deal, but it is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, there are core memories that they have where dad should have been there and wasn't. And, you know, I try not to let my regret spill over into how fun the relationships are now.
Yeah.
You know, and fun is subjective as well, because the kids call me with serious shit,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I don't know. They've been people the whole time.
Yeah.
The Bible even says that once you escape the womb, you are a people.
You're a people.
Yeah.
My favorite thing that has stuck with me parenting, was a Maya Angelou, something that she said, probably on Oprah, but she said, when a child walks into the room and sees the adult, like your eyes should light up that you're so happy to see this child walk into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, my grandma always did that. And I guess I, as a kid, I didn't notice. I just thought, well, I was a big deal and I was her favorite, which everyone thought. But she really did that. Like, oh, hi, like so excited and happy and like her eyes lit up. I always wanted to do that with my kids. And it doesn't happen all the time.
Grandma Belle was like that.
Mm.
You would show up to the house and it was exclamation points.
Yeah.
You know, it was tippy taps. It was have some cake, you know. And that, even when Dad and I lived a block from Grandma and Grandpa and I saw them every day,
mm-hmm.
every time I came in that door, she'd just brighten up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Grandpa would get just a little less grumpy, you know?
Yeah.
And... You know, and that's where it's like I knew my grandma loved me. I knew grandpa did. I just don't know if grandpa liked me very much, you know, just because he was gruff and he was closed off. And that was his generation, you know, but
it is. Was.
Yeah. And I was a hyperactive little shit. And he was a blind guy who was not born blind and so had new skills and having a hyperactive little shit zooming around like a fucking puppy on cocaine.
Wanting to touch everything, play with all the tools.
Oh, he had audiobooks, you know, before those were a big deal. And they'd get sent to him every month from some foundation that did books for the blind. And so he would sit and listen to books, but he'd have his headphones on. And all he wanted to do was just sit and listen to stories of Grandpa.
Hmm.
And he was having none of it, you know, but yeah, you know, grandma used to just, you know, she would brighten up.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
I love that.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
I want to do that with our kids. And especially like, I mean, as we become, and you are, grandparents.
So are you, step grandma.
Okay. Well, I love it. I'm like, seriously. I just had this question come up about, how do I feel about like getting older and being a grandma? And I'm so excited. I really am. Like, I'm excited to do it with you.
Yeah.
Cause we didn't raise kids together, not little kids.
Nope.
Are there things that you want to pass on that you're excited about with grandkids?
Yes. All of their parents' insecurities, bad habits that my kids used to do when they were little kids. I want to teach that so they can put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like mom and I had an argument and I was about 10, 11, 12. It was right around the divorce time. And, you know, she said something and she was mad and she's like, I hope you have a kid like you. I'm like, that'd be great. If you're mad at me, you should wish me a kid like you, mom.
Oh my God. That is actually a very good point.
Holy shit, a kid just like me? How much fun are we gonna have?
My best friend.
Yep.
Oh man.
Yeah, I still feel bad about that. And she's forgotten about it, I'm sure, or else I would bring it up and apologize for having said it. But that's all. Anyway, I think we can wrap this.
Okay.
We actually got a show out of it, but this was fun.
It was fun. Thanks for recording on Father's Day.
And thanks for listening to our Father's Day special.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
We're going to go have some brisket, some smoked brisket.
Mm-hmm. Some mashed taters.
Some cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. I guess I got to go make that.
No, you don't have to make it.
Oh, okay.
No, you're not making it.
All right.
Okay. I love you. Happy Father's Day.
I love you, too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.